Johnnies. It's Friday, the 21st of April, and this is Game On. Coming up today, it's a busy championship weekend, and we've got Shane McGrath, Ross Munnelly, and Neil Ewing standing by to preview it all. Plus, in soccer, Alan Colley is in the studio to look ahead to the big games either side of the Irish Sea as Fergal Brennan picks up the pieces from Man United's Europa League exit. We'll also have Jane Mangan on racing, as well as another chance to win exclusive tickets for the Punchestown Festival next week. If you want to get in touch, please text us on 51552 or tweet at GameOn2FM.
Game On on 2FM.
Welcome along. I am going to start with our competition because, as you know, Punchestown, the festival, returns next week from Tuesday the 25th to Saturday the 29th of April. And 2FM will be there as we enjoy one of Ireland's favourite social and sporting events. To celebrate, we have two pairs of Flexi Reserved enclosure tickets to give away. As the name suggests, these tickets are flexible so can be used on the day of the winner's choice. Enjoy all the extras of the reserved enclosure with amazing trackside viewing, live music, bars and style. To be in with the chance to win, just answer the following question. In what county is Punchestown Racecourse? Is it A, Kildare, or B, Donegal? Text your answer, name and email address to 51552 and the winner will be announced at the end of the show. Alan Colley is with me, and Alan, it has become customary for me now to ask, are you going to Punchestown next week?
I'll be with you Wednesday night.
Ah, sure, look, what a time to be alive, that's
yeah.
Great.
I like Punchestown. Obviously we're working down there during the week, but I've gone many times and it's a brilliant festival. And top quality horses as well, Marie, off the back of Cheltenham as well. So all the big boys will be there and I'll be looking forward to it.
Very good. We'll be talking to Jane Mangan about it a little bit later on. She's going to tee us up for what is coming down the track with that. Alan Colley, I was expecting you to come in here a little bit stiff and sore, playing five-a-side with some of the greats.
I am stiff and sore, Marie. have you not noticed? Very stiff and sore. So, yeah, our little... well, we're trying to get it going, I suppose. But former greats, past greats, is that...
Yeah.
A lot of
legends.
One legend. In fairness,
yeah. Go on, you have the floor now to name drop to our heart's content.
Well, no, it's they're friends.
So Alan was playing five aside with Robbie Keane the other night.
Last night. Yeah, I was. Yeah, but the lads and former League of Ireland lads, Bohemians coach, assistant coach, Gavin Whelan, Thomas Morgan, Dave Worrell, Robbie Keane. Yeah, we had a good star-studded affair.
Did you win?
We won, yeah. We played. It was the old lads against the younger lads.
Which team
and this
are you
why
on?
I'm most happy. This why I'm most happy, because we are obviously the older lads now, and Robbie was with us and Thomas Morgan. We had a really good team, but we played all the younger lads who obviously at six aside, it's all about legs and running around. And Derek Pender, who's very fit still,
yeah, of course.
Lorcan Fitzgerald, who very fit. Gav. So yeah, we beat the young lads.
Very good.
And I have to say the standard was very good.
Yeah. I played a bit of five-a-side myself last week as well. There's the very first female league, Para League, is on in the Spa Well. And a bit like you, Al, I rocked up and Louise Kelly, former Ireland player, on my team. And we were playing against a team of girls who had class of 22 on their t-shirts. And we thought, we're finished here. But it was the older ones that won as well.
The experience won out. And it was the same last night. They got off to a great start, as young lads tend to do, and tear off into the unknown, and the longer it goes on, it's a marathon, not a sprint, Marie. Our experience told in the end.
Yeah, it's nice to share the pitch with former Ireland internationals every now and again, I have to say. Okay,
good lads, but yeah, so all is good. How are you?
Yeah, I am flying it. Looking forward to the million games on this weekend. When it's so busy with everything else going on, Al, does a sport like snooker get a bit lost?
Well, it can do, yeah. Mm-hmm. And especially, and I mentioned this last week, just that I think April is the best sporting month because you have the Masters, the Grand National, obviously the World Championships. I might be biased in that regard about the month of April. I'm sure plenty of other people have differing views on their own favourite months. But it can get lost. But I don't think it got lost this week because of the incident during the week where the protester obviously came onto the table. And for the first time, which is a rare thing in snooker, Marie, as well, we've moved on from that. But there was a grudge match in snooker today, and a genuine grudge match.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't tend to find that, and where there's a war of words breaks out off the table. And then, of course, these two players are paired up against each other in the second round. Now, one of them is the best player that's ever played the game, against the lad who's trying to make his way, I suppose. But he felt very disrespected by Ronnie O'Sullivan's comments. The legendary figure is Ronnie O'Sullivan, and the lad that's trying to make his way is Hossein Vafai, who's a good player in his own right, but as I say, he's only kind of upcoming, trying to make his name. But he this war of words broke out because of comments O'Sullivan had made, and then they faced each other. Whereas, and I actually agreed with Hossein Vafai at the time because he was he was very disrespectful towards the players now and the standard in terms of the young players coming through. And look, you could.
I actually remember that at the time. Yeah, and you can label
that at a lot of things, but he just felt for the greatest player in the game to be totally disrespecting younger lads and people trying to make their name. He was out of order, and I'm not a fan of O'Sullivan. Obviously, he's the best player that's ever played, but I'm not a fan of him. But then they played each other in a qualifier, I think it was a couple of years back, and Vafai beat him 5-0. But in the fifth frame, when he was four down, O'Sullivan just came up, and for anyone that knows snooker, in the breakoff shot, he just smashed the balls all over the place. And again, Vafai thought this was a total lack of respect towards him. So that was grand. So they're obviously facing off each other today, and there was a few words broke out during the week as they were kind of getting ready to play against each other. And I'm kind of in Vafai's corner. And then he comes out today and does the most ridiculous thing, Marie, honestly, and totally rattled by the occasion and the situation. O'Sullivan, it was like almost as people were suggesting, he's poked the bear. O'Sullivan comes out like the superstar that he is, totally zoned in, totally focused, thinking, I'll show you who's the boss. And Vafai plays right into his hands, and in the second frame smashes the balls all over the place, and O'Sullivan goes in and clears up, and it was the most ridiculous thing, honestly. And he just lost everyone straight away. People were like, what are you doing?
Just leaves the head.
Well, it was he was trying to make a point. As Stephen Hendry said in the commentary, he looked up to one of, it looked like where they have obviously your family or your friends in the corner, and kind of smiled up at someone, and Hendry reckoned it might have been premeditated, which it obviously was, and it was ridiculous. Because O'Sullivan goes in and clears up, then you're 2-0 down. It's hard enough to win a frame off him anyway without giving him a frame. And he was just totally rattled by the occasion. And like, if you're going to make a point in a revenge situation, if that's kind of, for the want of a better phrase, but if you're going to try and make a point, do it by
winning.
Exactly. And do when you're talking on the table by actually beating him. So now he's losing 6-2 after the first session, and he can forget about beating O'Sullivan now.
Okay, well, it sounds like it definitely didn't get lost with everything else that's going on.
Well, it didn't today. Tomorrow, obviously, everything that will take over the weekend. But it might have got, it very much would have been in news had Vafai come out and won 5-3 this morning and played great and done, and as we said, did his talking on the table. But what he did was ridiculous.
Yeah, well, that did get a lot of social media reaction anyway. I did see it earlier on. Okay, Al, we're going to park that for a while. We'll be coming back to soccer in a bit. We're going to turn our attention now to Gaelic football. Ross Munley and Neil Ewing are with us on the line, and it's going to be one of those weekends where you just sit down, put the head down and try and stay on top of everything that's going on because there's a huge amount going on. Ross, how are you?
I'm very good. Very good. Battered and bruised after the Man United result. Pulled myself together first thing this morning and attacked the day.
It's a tough one. Well, it was a tough one, wasn't it, Ross?
It certainly was. I had the game recorded because I was working late and got home to watch it, and definitely wasn't the best use of my time in the end up. But listen, calm heads will prevail. There's a transfer window ahead and we won't get too down with the load.
Alan Cawley's laughing away, hates himself.
You're more optimistic than me, Ross, I tell you that.
I think the disappointing thing is when Man United are bad at the minute, they're getting thumped, and that's not a good thing. But they have tended to bounce back, so let's hope there'll be a cup final after Sunday.
Measured as always, Ross. Neil, how are things?
All good, Marie. Yeah, very happy that you brought up Man United's more recent results. I was getting afraid that they were only mentioned when it was positive news for Alan and Ross.
Oh no, we like to get the digs in whenever
very much so.
We can. Yeah, we're ruthless like that here. Let's start with Munster, guys, because I was saying there's so much going on, it's hard to know where to even go, but we may as well start with the All-Ireland champions taking on Tipperary. And Ross, when you look at the team that they've named, 12 of the starting side that beat Galway in last year's All-Ireland final, you can't help but be impressed by what they've got in their armour.
It's incredible. I was just writing out the team earlier on there and just going through it. Absolutely amazing. I think we all looked at Kerry during the league and thought that they looked a little bit jaded, and there was a period where you're thinking, what's their season going to look like? Had a couple of distractions. Obviously, celebrating the All-Ireland obviously would have been one of them, probably later back to train, and then the Cliffords involved so far in the club action. And the break seems to have done them really, really well by not making the knockouts of the league, and that team just looks like it could win an All-Ireland right here today. So It's not very good news for Tipperary this weekend, and you can really only see one winner in Fitzgerald Stadium.
Yeah, Neil, when you look at that team, you get the sense that Jack O'Connor is just going to put the head down now and try and win every single game along the way, start with intent, get minutes into the likes of David Clifford and Sean O'Shea, and just try to get to the end of the summer and walk up those steps to the Hogan again.
Yeah, definitely, Marie. I think, you know, Jack O'Connor came in last year for his first year, and, you know, he put a strong focus on the league, and, you know, because there was a lot of new ideas to implement, you know, a new backroom team as well coming in there with their own ideas. I think this year the league probably wasn't as important to them, probably for two reasons. A lot of the established players knew kind of the new systems, knew the feel of things from last year, but also he knew he could go into the Munster Championship, get his two games in the Munster Championship, and they have a round robin in the Sam Maguire coming up where they're guaranteed three games as well, and there's no way Kerry are not going to be in the top three of them. So, you know, he has five games there that he can effectively use as he might have used the league in previous mm-hmm. years. So it's it's a pretty intimidating team they've named, and I guess the one question mark for them might be that midfield area where David Moran is out, and it's probably somewhere where Tipperary are at their strongest as well, with Stephen O'Brien capable of going out there, Mark Russell and Jack Kennedy. So, you know, that's maybe one test that they might like to see how they fare out on Sunday.
Ross, what about Clare and Limerick, and given the momentum now that Clare will have after that win over Cork, albeit they had a couple of difficult days in the league, but finished so strongly?
Yeah, I think Clare are real red-hot favourites for this weekend. I know it's in the Gaelic ground, but the last game of the league, they put a good win on top of Limerick. I think it was 218 to 9 points. And I think they showed great character. They turned over a big enough deficit against Cork, coming and had a really good, strong second half. And Keelan Sexton put on an absolute masterclass the last day, scoring his left foot, right foot, dummy solos. Just really, really good performance. And I think they'll win this weekend. Obviously, there's a big reward for the winner, because it's not just an opportunity to play in a final. So it's a major game for both, and I would expect, with the Colm Collins effect, that Clare would get through.
Neil?
Yeah, I'd expect Clare to come through. They're favourites, and favourites for a reason. You know, they've been, prior to their relegation this year, you know, they were an established Division 2 team for a few years there, whereas Limerick had just come up, bounced straight back down. The one reason I would give Limerick a chance is, well, I suppose there's the neighbourly thing. There's no fear of Clare in Limerick. They beat them last year in the Championship. But also, I know they took a beating in the last league game against Clare, but that was just as the new management had come in, and that's a seismic change, you know, in any squad or panels in a year. So, you know, maybe there's a bounce there that a few weeks together, away from the league action on the training pitch, you know, we might see something a little bit different from them.
Ross, let's move on to Leinster and your own Laois welcoming Dublin down to O'Muir Park. How much of a chance would you give them?
I think it depends. I was wondering what kind of a team would Dublin name. Would they rest some more of their big guns and ease their way into the Leinster Championship, or would they go pretty strong? They probably have done a little bit of both. I think when they have, from the team that they've named, they've got Costello, Jack McCaffrey, Dean Rocks, Scully, and obviously Cluxton on the bench. And they have some, what we, I suppose, in compared to other Dublin players, some more inexperienced. But I think this is a real good opportunity for Laois. I think Laois's full forward line has been really, really good throughout the league. Laois have put up big scores and were very unlucky not to qualify out of the Division 4. They lost out ultimately in the end on the head-to-head to Wicklow. Home advantage is certainly a big opportunity for Laois, but as we know, Dublin have been quite comfortable playing in a Moore Park in the last number of years as well. So I think Dublin obviously will be very, very confident. For Laois, it's an opportunity for all the young players that Billy Sheen has brought through, the Swains, Damon Larkins, Sean Green, Mark Barry, all of this future generation of Laois players, to test themselves against some of the best players that have ever played the game. And I think Laois have to attack the game from the start, and hopefully there'll be a big home support. And as I say, I do think the Laois full forward line with Evan O'Carroll, Barry and Owen Lowry can cause the Dublin full back line trouble.
We have a shock every weekend, Neil. Well, most weekends anyway. In a weekend where you have so many games, there tends to be one. Will this be it, do you think?
I don't think so, Maria. Sorry to say. I know there's two Laois fans maybe on the line here, but I just think Dublin have too much quality. You know, Laois, the fact that they didn't get out of Division 4, I know Ross mentioned run, luckily, 100% I agree with him. I think they were one of the two best teams in the division. But, you know, you're looking at Dublin, a team who are probably, they're definitely in the top three teams in the country. You know, good chance of winning All-Ireland against a team that weren't able to get out of Division 4. I think Laois, unfortunately, just have to be hoping to get a performance and take a few building blocks from it that they can add to in the run into the Tailteann Cup.
There's some interesting games in Leinster this year for many reasons, and Westmeath and Louth is one of them, I think, anyway, just given how well Louth have done under Mickey Hart, and Westmeath as well. Just, you would think this was going to be one of those exciting close games, Ross.
Yeah, this is one game that I'm really looking forward to this weekend. I think Westmeath have really flown under the radar. I think apart from having probably one of the most popular management teams in the country, which is Desi Dole and Johnny Keane and of course Jason Sherlock, I think they've gone about their business quite well in terms of the division. They were 5 points clear of relegation and only 2 points off promotion, and their defensive record was really, really good. In total, only 79 points conceded, which is about 11 points only per game. And I think that is something that has gone under the radar with them. That's the best events in Division 3, and I think the second best, apart from Derry, in the top three divisions. So that is certainly an area that they have concentrated on. Obviously, John Heslin was top scorer in the division as well. But in terms of Louth this weekend, obviously flying high in the league, and Louth will be quite defensive. And I think a lot of this for Westmeath will come down to how patient they are in trying to break down the Louth defence and not allowing themselves to be counter-attacked. But their defensive setup and what they've conceded in the Division 3 league for Westmeath would certainly stand them in good stead to be really competitive on the weekend, and it wouldn't surprise me if they slipped through this game and got the win.
What about Kildare and Wicklow? And again, we're kind of looking at the star-studded management teams there, but Wicklow being promoted out of Division 4, Neil, and then Kildare just having that tricky season. Do they kind of meet somewhere in the middle almost?
Yeah, it's just so hard to know. Kildare, you know, they come across as a team that should be performing at a higher level. You know, that managing team came in, you know, there was a huge amount of enthusiasm, definitely among supporters. But there's just a fragility there that I'm struggling to understand, whether it's a lack of belief in what they're trying to do or a lack of ability to do what they're trying to do. I'm not sure of, but their performance have been up and down. You know, you even look at the league this year, they went to put in a great performance against Dublin in the first round in Croke Park after, you know, getting badly beaten by Dublin in Leinster last year. That was encouraging signs of progress, you know, but after that, their league campaign just kind of fell off a cliff. And only for the last 5 minutes of a game down in Ennis versus Clare, they probably would have ended up in relegation and definitely in the Tailteann Cup. So, you know, I think Clare supporters need to see something. They're very quick to get behind the team if they can see signs of life, but they just need to see a team with some structure and with some consistency. Wicklow, on the other hand, you know, even to go back to our discussion on Laois, I think Wicklow were probably the fourth best team in Division 4, but they managed to get promoted, and that's no slight on them. I think Oisín McConville came in, new management team over the winter, and it probably took them even those few weeks or even 2-3 months to get a handle on their players up to the middle of the league. But you know, once they had a feel for what they had available to them, they pulled off some great results to get themselves promoted. The last few weeks, they'll be on a high despite losing the league final. I think the promotion will be enough to have kept them you know, very motivated in training for this. And you know, it is one, I think, that's more set up for an ambush than the Laois Dublin one.
Ross, Offaly and Meath, and when I say this, I'm going to clarify what I mean. Colm O'Rourke, it feels like he's under pressure, but not under pressure from people around him from the county, but from himself, because I'd imagine that the expectations he would have put on himself when he took this job and what he would want from his Meath team, he hasn't been able to figure out how he's going to get it yet. Whereas this will give him a platform to maybe show what he's about and ease that pressure that's on from himself.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. I think going into inter-county management is a very, very brave thing for Colm to have done, given that he had worked as a pundit for so long. And I know he was involved at club level and I think under 20 as well. But senior inter-county management is such a difficult job. And, they had a very bright start and people were very happy with the quality of football that Meath were playing. And then it just seemed to drop off. It will be a big, big asset to them to have Donal Keoghan back this weekend. He's their captain. He, in my opinion, Donal Keoghan in his peak would make any team in the country. And I think they have always they'll have that scoring threat with Killian O'Sullivan, Jordan Morris, and of course Donal Lennon as well. So they probably will be too strong for Offaly this weekend, but Offaly at home in Tullamore, like both of these teams, very, very, very similar in terms of their statistics and their scoring throughout the league. Both of them averaging 15 points in total in each game that they played. So you'd imagine it will be relatively high scoring with both teams going for it. And I just fancy Meath to get through given the higher quality of games that they've been playing in Division 2.
Yeah, would you agree?
Yeah, it's a game, I think it's going to be a very interesting game. It's one that you'd love to get to, especially the fact that Meath are going to Tullamore. Offaly, they've had a season that nobody could have ever imagined, losing their manager, Liam Cairns, in such tragic circumstances. Martin Murphy and John Rouse coming in, getting a few huge results at the end of the league. Again, that will have built momentum. Awfully love an open game. They have some great footballers who maybe don't like the stodgy defensive kind of games as much. So if Colm O'Rourke sets his Meath team up to play all out open attacking football, that could play right into Offaly's hands. And they have some big ball winners around the middle of the field. They'll get them front football. They have a dangerous full forward line. Peter Cunningham coming from deep there. I just think, if Offaly could get a goal maybe at the right time, get that home crowd behind them, and I think similar to Kildare, Meath have that fragility. They're not fully invested or believing in what they're trying to do at the minute, and they need a few wins to get that. So, if the cracks start to appear on Sunday, I would worry about for them in Tullamore.
Let's move on to Ulster, Ross. We had a cracking game last week between Monaghan and Tyrone. Do you think Cavan and Armagh is going to deliver the same sort of drama?
I think it possibly will. I know it's a long time since Armagh have won in Breffni. I think it goes back to 2008. And then before that, again, it was another 30 years. So it's a daunting fixture for anybody from Armagh who's looking at the history books. I think Cavan had a very good league campaign. It's not that long ago that they won an Ulster title, and so much has been made of the fact that Armagh haven't featured in a provincial final in a long, long time. This one is wide open this weekend. I think a lot of the pressure is on Armagh, a lot of questions being asked after obviously them have starting off quite well in the league. Remember that comeback against Mayo to snatch a draw. They were fantastic down the stretch. The big thing for Armagh is what team is going to start. And I know they have a lot of players coming back from injury, which will be a huge addition. And obviously Rian O'Neill is one of them. Whether they're in a position to start and last the full 70 minutes will be interesting. From a Cavan perspective, the nucleus of that team with Raymond Galligan, the addition of Darragh McVitie, you got Killian Clark, James Smith, and then obviously up front Paddy Lynch. There's scores in the Cavan forward line, but I think a big loss to them this year is that they'll probably have to play James Smith at midfield for most of these games. He was excellent last summer navigating between midfield and full forward, and he was a constant threat, but they probably need him more so at midfield this year given the loss of Thomas Galligan. So in terms of calling it, I'm going to go for the home win in Breffni for Cavan, but it's so tight. Literally, this one could even go to extra time.
And what about down in Donegal, Ross? Again, just given the amount of instability up in Donegal, can they get it together and put in a performance in the Ulster Championship?
Yeah, they probably can. And there's a lot of kind of fight and talk this week about them being ready, and they've relegated before and did fine and all the rest. And that is true, but they had Michael Murphy and Neil McGee and players of that quality to steer them through choppy waters. They don't have that at the moment. And on top of that, Paddy McGrearty is out as well. So they have a huge leadership void in that group. I know they've had 4 weeks since the changing of the manager and the end of the league and so on, but it is so, so, so hard to change momentum mid-season, particularly when you look at a situation where the manager leaves and then the rest of the backroom team are picking up the pieces. On the opposite side, you have Down, who have quietly went about their business. They finished third in Division 3. They were averaging 18 points in total per game, which is quite high scoring, and the big advantage for them this weekend is that they're at home. I read during the week they're expecting 10,000 people, and Conor Laverty, given his experience in the club scene, what he's done with the under-20s, and now he's bringing that through to lead the senior inter-county team, I think that it's all set up for a home win. But if Donegal play with the team that starts in terms of being up front with Conor Donnell, Oisín Gallen, Hugh McFadden, obviously they have forwards that can score, but let's not forget they only scored one goal in 7 matches in the league, and a 76 points in total across the 7 league games. I think it's one of the worst. Maybe Waterford might have scored a little bit less than them. Like it's a really daunting fixture for Donegal this weekend.
Neil, in Connacht, is it going to be a case where New York are going to trouble Sligo? Alan Cawley's after getting up off his seat as I said that.
Any tickets, Neil? Any tickets?
We'll look after you, Alan. If you can find your way, I'm not so sure that'll be possible.
I'm on the way, Neil. I'm on the way. I'll hold you to that now. I'm looking for a ticket.
I'm not worried about you getting to Sligo. I'm worried about you getting to Markovitz Park. Marie, to be honest with you, if I was in that Sligo panel, you know, I just think just one word that would sum up this week for me would be anxiousness. And, you know, that's probably the right approach for the players to have. You know, people talk about New York, and I think especially people maybe outside of Connacht who haven't seen the trend of New York results. You know, right back 2010, they nearly beat Galway. 2016, you know, Roscommon got into injury time, were behind. 2018, they brought Leitrim to extra time. 2022, just last year, they ran Sligo very close, very lucky to pull away in the last few minutes, and obviously beat Leitrim this year. But, you know, I don't think that's any reflection on the Connacht teams. I think it's the quality that New York are starting to build. You know, there's a great story there in terms of the homegrown players that they're starting to develop. The guys that are going out, they're holding on to them for a little bit longer. They're maybe working in different sectors, different visa arrangements. That's allowing them to, you know, to get a bit of consistency year after year, see the level they have to get to, and then use that in training over the winter. To be honest with you, I think there's probably 10 or 15 teams in Ireland that this New York team could beat. I'm not saying they beat them every day, but they would have the potential to beat them. You know, they have guys who have won Munster Championships. Shane Carty has won All-Ireland with Dublin. He's won Club All-Irelands with St. Vincent's. Adrian Varley has played Division 1 with Galway. Owen Cairn has been nominated for an All-Star. You know, there's real quality there that you don't get in the Division 3 and 4 teams. So, yeah, it just won't be a nice game for Sligo to play. It's a huge opportunity for New York. And, you know, I heard some of their players interviewed after the game the last day, and you know, they talked a little bit about just going out and playing. And I think, you know, maybe when you don't have that, I suppose, historical or, you know, lifelong attachment to a county, you can go out and play with a bit less fear. You know, if it goes well, brilliant. If it doesn't go well, you know, you haven't lost maybe as much, or you don't have to maybe face into the same harsh criticism from your supporters. So, you know, I think if this again turns into an open game, New York, with the quality of footballers they have, playing a little bit off the cuff, you know, anything is possible.
Ross, is Roscommon in Galway the game of the weekend, do you reckon? Will it be the game of the weekend?
Well, I think there's a couple of games of the weekend. This is probably certainly the most high profile one. it's massive given the result of Roscommon the last day. I think on the show before previewing the Roscommon Mayo game, I said that Mayo's performance in the league final against Galway was a little bit shaky in terms of the goal chances that they scored, and that for Roscommon to win they'd have to score goals, and they did that, and they did it very effectively. I'm not so sure they'll get those goal chances this weekend. I was very impressed with both of these teams last year in the Connacht final. Roscommon in particular, how they were able to win possession in around the D and maybe 21 yards out in the Galway defence and get scores. And on the flip side of that, I was really impressed with how Galway were able to counter-attack and get scores, particularly in the centre in the second half of that game. Both teams have improved dramatically since. Galway have a lovely blend of how they attack from deep. In terms of Kelly coming from fullback, he's had lots and lots of goal chances throughout the league. He's been really impressive. How they deploy him at the weekend will be interesting, because obviously Roscommon are no slouches up front, but there'll be a big battle out around the middle of the field, and you'd expect McDade and Enda Smith to collide a good bit out there. You would think that Galway have the forwards to win this and the defensive structure, but who would back against Roscommon at the minute? They've just been a breath of fresh air with that performance against Mayo.
Call it, Ross.
I will say Galway just about.
Okay. Neil and Ross, thank you so much for that. We got through a lot there. Appreciate it. We're going to take a very quick break, but do stay with us. Alan Cawley standing by to do football, and we have Shane McGrath coming up on hurling.
RTE 2FM.
Welcome back. Shane McGrath joins me on the line to talk all of the hurling action. It's upon us, Shane. Are you excited?
Yeah, delighted, no, Marie. I'm sure as you all are. The real stuff is starting now, and it's even greater talking to people to see all the teams announced. I know. Some managements have given out about it, but do you know what? Yeah. There's a great old buzz around there, around workplaces today. Yeah.
Meeting people to see
the team. Yeah, no, so I'm all for it from that regard, yeah, definitely.
I'm thinking, like, why didn't they just do that before, is what I was thinking, because it does make, like, I like listening to podcasts and I like reading previews and I like the kind of build up to games, and to actually be able to have conversations around things and you're pretty sure that it's going to go the way bar Tipperary with their alphabetical team, but we won't go there, Shane. But it is, I definitely welcome it. And I'd say, look, Tipperary will come around to the rest of everybody when it suits them. So Shane, who's going to be happier, me or you, over the weekend come Sunday evening?
I think there's more pressure on your team, Marie.
For anyone that doesn't know, Shane's from Tip and I'm from Clare.
So, like, I just think, right, it's Brian Lohan's fourth year at it. I honestly do feel that this is the strongest he's been able to pick from, as regards lads coming back from injury. Players stepping up from underage teams, from e.g. Adam Hogan. And I just think that I do feel it has to be a Munster championship at the minimum for Clare this year because of all those factors. Now, we all know Limerick they're unbeatable at the moment, this, that and the other. Clare did take them all the way last year, extra time and everything. And you throw in Aidan McCarthy into that mix as well. And you throw in Shane Amore's back, Keen Galvin, Adam Hogan has stepped up. And obviously, you know, Shane O'Donnell is back now after the league as well. Like, they'll take that, maybe that burden or that responsibility off Tony Kelly, like, that maybe was there in previous years. But I just think they're seriously, seriously strong panel, seriously strong team. It's in Ennis. The only drawback, I suppose, is David Fitzgerald not being available for selection. Like, he's a physical presence. He's a big day player, an all-star hurler, and he's good for 2-3 points most days. So I think he'll be a big loss around there. But, you know, if Tony Kelly and Cathal Malone named there, Cathal Malone is a big physical guy as well. He knows where the posts are. Be interested to see where Tony actually does line out. And also, Marie, will Tip maybe go after Tony Kelly like we did in 2019 when Brendan Maher was assigned a job to try and curtail him in a man-marking role and did a really good job at it. But I just feel that Clare they're a much stronger team since then with, as I said, Shane O'Donnell. I think Mark Rogers is a serious talent in the corner. He'd really good Fitzgibbon as well. And, you know, as I said, Aidan McCarthy coming back in. So, it's going to be a great game. I mean, you're talking about round robin experience. Like, there's no team has won more round robin games than Claremorey. Like, out of the 12 they've played, they've won 8. So, and they're at home and they have their strongest team. So pressure on Clare, because look, Marie, I'll be totally honest. I think if Clare don't beat Tip on Sunday, to have to go into the Gaelic grounds the following Saturday night and get a win.
Yeah.
It's very, very difficult because Tip have the week off. Like,
what about Limerick though and their team? You know, I've seen so many people saying today on social media that Sheree may as well just hand them the All Ireland now. When you're looking at the 15 that they have, Shane, like they're phenomenal. But there is still a kind of school of thought out there. They're coming up against Waterford. It's one of those clashes where you're going to have Davey coming in and he could have anything up his sleeve.
Yeah, and I suppose, like, a lot of people might realise this is actually John Kiely's first time facing off against Davey as a manager in Championship hurling as well. So I think there should be some fireworks on the sideline there. I suppose to put in perspective where both teams are at, Marie, right? Limerick are going for 4 in a row All-Irelands, 5 in a row Munsters. Waterford are trying to qualify for the first time from the round robin series since it came in. So that's where they're kind of at in regards of development, or in regards of where they're at with this round robin thing. It hasn't been good to Waterford in previous times, and as I said, Limerick are going for 5 in a row Munster finals. So you know, there's a lot at stake. I just saw their team today, and I just kind of tweeted as like saying, you know, we knew it was coming, like, but when you actually see that 15 players down together to play together with Keane Lynch back, with Peter Casey back, regardless of the other that they have. And then I just looked over to the left-hand column at their subs bench, or their non-starters, as the terminology would be used nowadays. And I look at Mike Casey, I look at Colin Coughlin, I look at Colin O'Neill, I look at Graham Mulcahy. You get where I'm going here. Yeah. David Reid is togging out for the first time in a while as well, to come back from injury. If it's not working out for 15 of the best hurlers in the country, there's 4 or 5 lads who are pushing them all the way, coming in to finish off a job. And it is just kind of scary for the rest of us, I suppose, to where they're at the moment, and the fact that they have everyone fit. If there is a curveball coming, Davey Fitz will be the man to throw it. What will it be? Will it be in the form of extra defenders? Will they go all out attack and play a crazy thing like 3 in the full forward line, like we haven't seen in hurling maybe in a while, which, you know, sounds ridiculous to say, but they'll have to do something different, Marie. But I'm just really looking forward to see the way. We know how Limerick are and what they're going to bring, but I just can't wait to see what Waterford team start first of all. Ozzie has a kind of a hamstring tear, but he's on the subs, and just to see the way they're going to line out. And I'm lucky enough to be on duty there on Sunday as well, so really looking forward to that. Like,
okay, so maybe if we just get rid of Limerick's team announcement and then keep the rest of one, it'll be grand. Shane, let's have a look at Saturday. Antrim, Dublin, Galway, Wexford, Kilkenny, Westmeath. I know we always say that Munster hurling is a better product, but looking at Galway and Wexford, do you think that's going to give us something worth tuning in for?
Yeah, it should do, because again, they're like Dara and Henry, like the Dara Egan and Henry Shefflin, the two managers, they're able probably to actually sit down, and they were able to pick from their strongest group, whereas throughout the league, lads were missing, they were holding lads back, lads were coming back at different times. So now they can actually go and say, right, this is our strongest group, and put it down on paper. And so, particularly for Wexford, it's massive to be able to do that, because they were just decimated during the league between injuries and lads coming back, etc. So, but with all that said, I think for Galway, maybe no more so than Clare, they're at a stage now, and I suppose Henry's at a stage now with the group, that it has to be a Leinster final minimum. In my opinion, with the group of players, with everything that they have there, with the potential they have. And I think that this is a step on the way for them, Marie, tomorrow evening to achieving that. Like, if Galway don't win tomorrow, their next game is away to Kilkenny. And you're just putting yourself under massive pressure. So they'll be so focused tomorrow, as in they have a seriously strong group. Cathal Mannion is back as well. He's not starting, but he's there in reserve. Fintan Burke is in reserve. You know, there's two serious guys that if something's not working out either end of the field, that them guys can come in and make a difference. So I think Galway, they looked good against Clare when they needed to be, and I thought they were really strong. That was as strong as they went in the league, and I just think they're even potentially stronger now. It's at home, and they realise if we don't win our first match, we're under savage pressure to going down into Nolan Park. That, you know, they just don't want to be. So with all that being said, I do think Galway will have too much for Wexford there tomorrow night. But I do think the Wexford lads will come at it all guns blazing. You know, they've probably been written off by everyone, you know, including myself there now as well. But again, they're as strong as they can possibly be for it, Marie.
Antrim, Dublin, will it be a tight one?
Before I seen the Dublin team, actually, I think Dublin, again, seriously strong team. I would have said maybe, like, this is Antrim's All-Ireland, in my opinion, Marie. It's their first game. It's against a team that they feel they should be beaten. But I suppose the sentiment thing and these moral victories are totally gone for Antrim. Darren Gleeson has stated that there's no more surprise element, there's no more soft game going up to Corrigan Park. Teams are going up there, they know what's coming, they know there's a battle coming, but I think this is the time now for Antrim to kind of stand up and actually win the match up there, rather than keep saying, oh, we were close, and if this had happened, that had happened. And I'm sure the Antrim people, the hurling people up there, and Darren Gleeson, his management, will say, we have to make a statement here now at the weekend. So I think that everything they have will go into this game. Their next game is away to Wexford. So, like, if they could get anything out of this, they know that they won't beat Kilkenny and Galway. But I'm sure they're looking at Dublin at home as a game that they, you know, and obviously they'll probably look at Westmeath as well. But they're looking at this game to say, this is our chance to kind of send out a message and to prove to ourselves that we're good enough. There's no more said moral victories. If they are to do it, Marie, it's going to be against Dublin. But I just think that Dublin have gone really strong. They have a really strong group. I think it's kind of a free shot for Michal Donoghue in regards that they're kind of maybe in a transition. Some new guys coming in, older guys, Michal's first year. So maybe not that pressure that was on him in previous years. So that's why I think they'll go up and, you know, they know the battle is coming. But I think it'll be a ferocious battle. I feel Dublin might will have enough to get over the line up there, right?
And in a word, Shane, will Westmeath trouble Kilkenny?
No, they won't, because TJ's starting.
Okay, right. Well, you've nailed that. There you go. Now. Brilliant. Shane, thanks so much. Sure, I'll talk to you on Sunday.
Yeah. Okay, guys.
Thanks.
All the best.
Bye-bye. RTE 2FM. Game on 2FM. Turn our attention to football. Alan Cawley is here and Fergal Brennan joins us on the line as well. We're going to start with Manchester United for very obvious reasons, Fergal, because they were so disappointing last night against Sevilla. Erik ten Hag came out and, in fairness to him, he refused to defend his players, and you'd have to say he's right, Fergal.
He is. There was not much defending going on, full stop, from yeah. Erik ten Hag, from Manchester United, from anybody last night. It was awful. In terms of approach and mentality and the performance itself, there's obviously mistakes, and Harry Maguire, David De Gea have been called out, and there's been a big debate that I've been following on Twitter today of who was more to blame, and it's the same result really, because they're both culpable, they were both poor, they were both at fault for goals. And Manchester United, as good as Sevilla are, and obviously they've got a fantastic record in the Europa League, Man United were dreadful. But I also think you tie this back into the first leg. They were 2-0 up with, I think, 5-6 minutes to go, 2 own goals, including one again for Maguire, and I think actually that maybe set the tone a little bit for last night. It was always going to be difficult going to a team, the best team in the history of the Europa League. That I know Sevilla are not doing great in La Liga this season, but they're still a very competent side, and United just handed it to them, and I think they got everything they deserved. I think there's probably going to be questions now at the end of the season over certain players. Ten Hag's been quite straightforward about removing players from the team and removing players from the squad that he doesn't think are up to it. And I definitely think on the back of last night, there's going to be a few more departures this summer.
Yeah, I think it definitely seemed like that, because they were missing so many big players, Alan, key players last night. So it was an opportunity for people to try and put their hand up and show that they wanted to stay at Manchester United, but didn't seem to be much of that going on.
No, they were rudderless, gutless, heartless, words that you associate with, I suppose, a team that just threw the towel in. It wasn't good enough, Marie, for that level, for that stage in the competition. I thought it was absolutely disgraceful, to be honest with you, the performance. And I think, like you were saying there, it was an opportunity for lads to come in. How many opportunities have these same lads had? Mm-hmm. Martial, Maguire, Dalot, even Wan-Bissaka to an extent. Like, these fellas have been there now 2, 3, 4 years making the same mistakes, the same errors. And I think the only thing it highlights, and I'd be surprised if Ten Hag didn't know this already, was these are just not up to it. And as you says, when you take out the 3 or 4 maybe big players, Martinez, Varane, Shaw, who were their mainstays at the back, Bruno Fernandes, it just goes to show the limitations of that squad. And I've mentioned here many times, Marie, you're trying to compete at the elite level in terms of Man City, Real Madrid, all the big boys, and get back to that kind of level, and they're still so far off that. And the worry you would have is, like, obviously the issue with the ownership and what's happening there, and looking at that last night, obviously it's going to take a lot of investment and a lot of money to obviously strengthen that squad to get to the level of where they need to be. And is that money there with these owners in charge? And I think that's probably a wider debate on just what went on last night, but it was dreadful, absolutely dreadful.
Fergal, will they beat Brighton on Sunday in the FA Cup?
I don't think so. I've been doing a couple of bits on this today, and I just think going into the final, United will be tired. They've had a huge amount of football in the last couple of weeks. They've got 72 hours or just under to get back from Spain, back to Manchester, one training session, maybe two training sessions, depending on how Ten Hag wants to play it. And Brighton will be fresh. I know they've got a couple of injury worries, but I've been so impressed with them this season. That they're brave, the way that they play, the way they approach things. Roberto De Zerbi keeps demanding more. He won't be wanting to go in as underdogs and maybe just fluke a place into the final. He'll want them to get there on merit. And I think they probably will deserve it. I think we've seen against really good teams this season that Brighton haven't blinked, they haven't panicked, they've kept belief in what they're doing, and eventually they've got their just rewards. And I think they will do it this weekend, because United, not just based on last night, I think based on the last couple of weeks, they seem to be kind of catching up on them. Obviously, fighting across four fronts for the majority of the season is difficult, and with the amount of injuries and a couple of suspensions that they've got as well, although no Maguire this weekend might be a positive for United, he's suspended. I think Brighton could do it, I do.
He's getting some slagging, isn't he? God love him.
Well, yeah, and it's hard, but
Man City, Sheffield United in the other semi-final tomorrow. Alan, tomorrow at 4:45. Straightforward enough for City?
You would think so, yeah. And purely based on the fact that Sheffield United, obviously, their main priority is trying to get back to the Premier League. But the fact that they've built up a bit of a points cushion, they don't have to concentrate kind of wholeheartedly, in the sense that whereas before, at this stage, say it was very tight at the Championship, that they might have had to rest players in that game tomorrow, obviously thinking of the bigger picture. But it's a shot to nothing for them, and they're a good side on their day, Sheffield United. But you'd have to fancy Man City, and you look at the form Man City are in currently, like, it's a big ask for. I would agree with Fergal about Brighton as well. I think Brighton will beat United.
Okay, Fergal, Brennan, thank you so much for joining us. Alan, just a word on the League of Ireland fixtures tonight. A couple of big games. Shells Dundalk is on the telly. Pats and Rovers sold out again, drawn a huge crowd. Rovers are back.
Are they?
Apparently so.
2-2 draw last Friday, Marie. Are they back against Shelburne? Should they not be beating them if they're back?
They're just taking their time. They're keeping it interesting.
No, it is. It's good to see. And obviously, the league is very competitive at the moment with teams. That's what we want to see. The longer it stays competitive, the better. Because of, you said, all the reasons in terms of the interest, the crowds, the attendances, all that kind of stuff. So I would agree with you in the sense that Shamrock Rovers will come out on top come the end. But to keep it interesting for as long as possible is what we want.
Okay. Well, from the greatest league in the world to the greatest racing pundit in the world, Jane.
Oh, that's very kind of you to say. You know you're coming to the end of the show.
She says the same to Ruby on the Monday night. Don't mind her, Jane.
Jane, big week coming up.
Yeah, for sure. We have a day off on Sunday. You guys are coming to Punchestown. Before that, we have the small matter of Limerick and Navan tomorrow. But of course, it is all about the 5-day Punchestown Festival. Beginning on Tuesday afternoon, we'll be live on RTÉ Television from 4 p.m. and Grade 1's galore. We had great action in Aintree, but with the likes of Empere Pass, A Dream to Share, look at that Gold Cup on Wednesday. Could we have Brave Man's Game, the horse that wasn't allowed to run at Aintree last week against Galloping de Champ and Envoy Allen? There's an awful lot to look forward to. Saturday's Mayor's Champion Hurdle. We won't have Honeysuckle, but we will have the mare that she beat at Cheltenham. Hopefully Love Envoy makes the trip across from the UK. The Stairs Hurdle on Thursday. Well, a lot of the Stairs did run in Aintree. We had Sarah de Burley, we had Florine Porter, and a number of them took up their engagements at Aintree. Will that leave it open for Monkfish, the horse that we saw come back from a 2-year layoff at Fairy House last time? Will he make a winning reappearance? And as I said, A Dream to Share for John Kiley. He was so such a super result for young John Gleeson, and of course his dad Brian, we're all familiar with on RT television. Could he bring off the champion bumper double on the Wednesday?
Okay, Jane, that was brilliant. Thank you so much. Looking forward to hanging out with you next week while everybody else will be. I'll be at home watching you on the telly. Thanks as always to Alan Cawley for coming in. Alan, you heading off?
Talca Park.
Always going somewhere.
A Markovich tomorrow. I might go to the GAA.
In the double denim and everything. Alan, thank you. We have our competition winner. It is Carol Mulligan. Blonda Tracy with the official chart show is up next. RTE 2FM.